Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Brian Karras, Brittany Shaw, Katerina, Laura Hill, Patrick Schneeweiss, Mary S., David Hicks, Jeremy McCaddy, Muriel Rousselon, Luke Alexander Bertram Morton. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 79 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sleepy Baby Dragon.
Sasha Racket.
Grizzledrick Act Amsterdam.
And everything's still fine?
Everything's pretty good. I think we beat the bad guy, so that's nice.
Yeah, it's cool. I just got paper injuries to the hand.
There is an elephant in the room. Or more or
dead
less,
elephant.
An elephant has died and
big white elephant,
and won't
big
come
white
back.
Dead elephant.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, elephants are noble, sympathetic beasts, though. So,
elephant in perpetual musk.
Oh no!
So it is worth addressing now. Would you like to give the news, James?
Yes. Yeah, so I am taking an extended sabbatical from the podcast.
No.
For the best reason possible, though, which is
I've got a lovely baby.
Yes.
To look after my lovely baby.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
And bring it up to be the opposite of Sir Bertrand.
Basically, yes. See, you see this, Thomas. Don't. My main parenting advice.
Yeah. It's like how you are the opposite of Batman is one of the cruelest insults you can give.
Oh,
you are the opposite of Sir Bertrand McGuffingham is one of the greatest compliments.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
The opposite of Batman is a really good thing. What, you're a really functional member of society. You've got strong family bonds. You contribute not to vigilantism and punching random strangers in the face, but to sustained and inclusive, supportive improvement of society
in
general.
Analyze.
Maybe if you actually invest
culture.
In the community, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, he's a controlling... Hey, we're getting off topic.
True, true.
So, nonetheless, yeah, Bertie has died, and James will also be missing.
Spider-Man.
What that does mean, though, of course, is that there will be massive ramifications, but we wanted people to know it's not a case of your character dies and you leave forever. It's
yes, it is. Yep.
I was left in a room with a pearl-handled revolver with a single bullet in it, but I found a way out of that situation.
Do you have any idea how expensive it is to get a poster that's the size of a room that says, do the right thing?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, as it stands, yeah, this is going to be James's final recording with us for the foreseeable. That's a better way of putting it.
Until the child is 18.
Yeah, once
he's ready to inherit the
university, he'll be back.
Yeah, he's pretty gifted, so I'll be back
about
in a couple of years. Yeah. The only reason he's not at Cambridge right now is due to a chronic shortage of wet nurses in Michaelmas term. So. We're kind of all right, really.
Oh, God.
But nonetheless, I think it's time we start examining the ramifications of everything that happened. So it's worth bearing in mind that obviously if you're playing games yourself, you can just re-roll the character, etc., and get them in as someone else.
Yes. But, as we did with Zolf.
I mean, yeah, we've already done it with Zolf and Grizzolf. But
I did have a couple of ideas for backup characters that would have come in, but I'm just not going to use those backup characters.
Sure. So as it stands, James is going to be gone for the foreseeable.
Was the death predetermined then?
So the thing is that I actually, with James, knew that James was going to have to be taking this sort of sabbatical and, you know, going off and looking after, like, a human life.
So I actually knew as well, but I didn't realise it was happening so soon! Yeah. I'm not ready! Yeah.
So what it came down to was realising that, yes, basically Bertie's going to have to be gone for potentially ever, probably not, but I don't know, I can't see that far in the future, but yeah, we knew, and then it was more...
We only see 3 to 4 months into the...
and it was more a discussion of the how, whether it was a death, whether it was something else. I mean, equally, Bertie could have just spontaneously decided he really wanted to move to Antarctica. He'd still be gone, but it wouldn't have made much sense, so...
I'm going out for a side quest. I mean...
I mean, even in the episode, there are a bunch of different ways you could have gone.
Sir right. Bertrand McGuffingham's the thing. He literally is. Carry on.
But yeah,
this writes itself. Carry on.
As it stood, I knew that Bertie was going to have to be gone, and I also knew that you were about to go up a really, really powerful NPC. So the likelihood is he was going to die.
Particularly if Bertie goes alone.
He basically one-shotted Hamid. I mean, Hamid's not dead, but he was removed from the fight.
Yeah, we are skipping past as well, like the fact that Hamid is as messed up as he's ever been.
And we need to find him.
You're currently not even aware that he's a thing.
Yeah, and the only witness to that, or both witnesses to that, have died.
The entire
and
audience.
The entire auditorium.
Oh, all right. Maybe there's a few, but our leads are, you know, they're slimming down. So
I am going to pick up where we went off. Obviously, James will be here for the rest of this episode, etc. But
hello. I'll be comparatively quiet.
You get to just focus on the funnies.
All right.
And not the bigotry, which was, you know, 50% of brain power being wasted on being horrible.
It's only my lizard brain that's required for the bigotry. Like, you don't actually... That's
you never
reflexive.
Know.
It requires intellect to unlearn that.
There might be a flashback to Rag Week or something.
Oh, maybe.
Who knows? So I'm going to pick
this
up.
This is specifically what my death was worse than. But only just worse than.
So I am going to pick up after a little bit of time has passed. Okay? Enough time for the rioting, panicked crowd to have vacated the auditorium. Because no one wanted to stay. It's not like you could tell security to go in there and deal with this. No one wanted to stay.
Grizzop's priority is finding the soprano that he flung across the room and obviously hurt really badly.
So, basically you are held up by the massive rush of people, etc. However, we are skipping ahead to the auditorium is now empty. As it stands, the only people who are in it so far, this is a temporary state, are Sasha, Grizzop, presumably the remains of Hamid, all of his stuff that's there, the soprano... Who we'll deal with in a second, and there is no trace whatsoever of Kafka, but there are the papers all over the place, which are now dull and lacking in that sinister vibe. So first things first.
Is Bertie still floating?
Bertie is not floating. No. He is face down. He fell to the ground.
We need to steal all his stuff and sell it. It's worth loads of gold.
It's what he would have wanted.
So
it isn't, but he would understand.
Bertie is face down in the middle of the stage. Actually alone, because Kafka was erased and the soprano was off into the side. So I'm going to deal with Grizzop first. Grizzop heading to the soprano.
Yeah. I'm going to race over. I'm going to attempt a heel check to stabilise her. If she's unconscious and bleeding out. That's a 9. Having screwed that up.
It's really obvious to you that she's dead.
Oh, she's just dead.
She's dead. The impact killed her.
Ah.
She hasn't been particularly, like, maimed. It's nothing, like, grossly disgusting, but nonetheless, like, she has a broken neck. She is dead.
I'll close her eyes and say, sorry. And leave her.
The corpse says nothing.
I would be concerned if it did.
It
has been a zombie apocalypse.
I think you're fine. If you remember a few episodes back, we came up with a funeral prayer for the followers of Artemis.
Oh no, that's not a standard prayer. Oh, right, it's just Grizzop, you know,
improvising.
He was riffing. He's not very good at it.
Sasha, onto you. What are you doing?
She staggers, but she's still very fast staggering. Staggers at about most people's running pace.
You're probably actually akin to a zombie at this point, yeah, if you're staggering.
Over to Bertie and, like, kicks him in the head. Only very...
Yeah, of course.
Bertie, where's Hamid? What have you done? Where's Hamid? Bertie, wake up! We don't have time for this. Bertie!
Bertie says nothing.
Kicks him again. Bertie, come on! It worked last time.
Because,
I mean, it literally did wake him up.
Yeah. It has worked before.
Kicking him in the head was the right thing to do mechanically several previous occasions. She's one-handed right now, so can't even turn him over.
You could struggle, but you would be able to turn him over eventually. It's just a struggle.
If only there was some talking thing on his person that you could ask all the relevant questions to.
Turns it over. Like, Bertie! Shaking.
Visor is up.
Oh.
Because he's been talking and nodding his head and all this other stuff. His visor is up. His face is blued, the blue that you can only get from suffocation.
Blue-blooded.
His eyes are open and glazed.
Oh dear. I think we need a healer.
Hey? All right.
I mean, he looks a bit... Bertie?
I'm going to scamper over. Heal check.
Bertie?
You don't need to.
Yeah, I know.
In fact, what did you roll for the heal check?
I rolled 14.
14?
Yeah.
You know the manner of his death.
So suffocation.
Specifically magical, where it wasn't that he was, like, drowned or anything, like, they just took the air and left him without it.
Ah. No, he's
gone. Still got his graces, though.
Thank you. I regret this already.
Thank you.
But he died without... Airs.
That's
yeah, that was the hashtag. Hashtag that's the joke.
No, airs with an H.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, come on.
Hashtag that is the joke.
He died with no...
That left me breathless.
Oh,
just choking on that one. That's just literal, though. Literal.
Laughing in the face of grief.
Yeah. There's dark humour.
Sorry, he's dead. He looks like Kafka.
God, we need
Nick the air.
Now who's going to tell us what happened to Hamid? I mean, it's a shame he's dead.
Well, yeah, what did happen to Hamid? All his stuff's over there.
I mean,
Hamid
wouldn't leave his clothes if someone wasn't really wrong.
In fact, you know what? I'm not even going to get a perception check. The auditorium is still empty and echoing quiet after all of the kerfuffle. His clothes are not discarded. They are completely, like... rent, they are torn, it looks like something maybe ate him. Like, there are the remnants of what might have been some of his stuff. It's not like his clothes are just to the side.
Then none of his magical items are there apart from the bracelets.
Yes.
He might have been eaten
by what? By
I don't know, zombies.
They've
done it quite clean.
I'll do a perception check on his pile of clothes.
Give me a perception check.
16.
Do either of you have survival?
You'd think so.
No.
You're an Artemis, follower of Artemis without survival.
Bertie definitely doesn't at this point.
Yeah.
Carry on.
All right.
Bertie failed his survival check.
Sasha.
Critical fail.
Sasha's gonna. Okay, the sword. The sword. It's a talking sword. The sword can tell us.
Oh, that thing, yeah.
Gonna grab it, then realise that my hand is a bloody mess because it's taken 12 damage. Do I still have all my fingers?
Yes, but
it was
crushed. You have no use of your hand until you get it sorted out.
Hang on a minute.
I'll grab your hand.
Ooh, ow!
Lay on hands.
Ow!
Lay on hand.
Yeah,
lay on hand.
One second. You lay on hands.
Yep.
Roll the healing.
8.
You take 8 damage.
Right, so I was on 9. Now I'm on 1.
Lucky I didn't roll very well.
Ow, why did you do
that? That's supposed to help.
What? No, that...
Why didn't I help? That's supposed to help. That only doesn't work on the dead.
Oh, my God.
Are you a zombie?
No. Do I look like a zombie?
You're definitely acting like a
zombie. She looks super messed up on 1 hit point.
That should help. You've got a problem.
Yeah, the problem seems to be you right now.
That is all that helps. Unless I do it to a zombie or a vampire or some form of ghoul, it usually works.
2 days ago, I had a whole team, and now I've got you.
All right,
one hit point.
All right.
Wait, and I'm messed up right now.
Well, have a healing potion. Does that work? Is it just me?
I don't know. Has it ever happened before?
Here, read these medical manuals. We'll try again in a couple of minutes.
I swear this is the first time this has ever happened. It's never happened with anyone else.
Look, all right, I might have a mild case of slight bad resurrection, so...
Oh, dear.
I just...
All right, okay. Well, you're not dead and...
Barely!
Well, yeah, but you're not, and that's important.
I'm crouching on the floor.
The Soprano's dead, by the way.
Oh, dear, that was Hammond's sister.
Give me a perception check.
Well, 25.
25? Grizzop, get in on this.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've run really badly. 13. 11.
That's good. I probably would have seen into my soul and killed it.
Sasha.
Yeah.
You thought it was over. Mm. You really thought you dealt with everything. The zombies are gone. The pages are gone. Kafka's apparently gone. There's an inhuman howl from the rooftops above you.
Oh, it's something else.
No, I didn't hear that. Sorry.
You didn't hear that.
Oh, there's something on the roof. There's what? Something screaming on the roof. It's probably one of his little demon things.
All right, shall I go take a look?
You know what? I'm gonna find out where I'll takes her functioning hand and holds the Bertie's sword thing. It's like, what happened to Hamid?
Oh, hi. How are you? How's things?
Really awful, right? Like, I am about as ill as I feel like I've ever felt, apart from the times that I was blasted through a wall.
I mean, you sound terrible. Is he dead? I'm assuming he's dead.
Hamid? What?
What? No, the Bertie.
Oh, yeah. No, he... I should be probably more...
Did he have a son?
He's really tactically useful.
Did he have a son?
Not that I know of.
Oh, great. Okay.
You know, I don't think it's likely, given his romantic inclinations.
Fantastic.
Okay.
So... Right, so what was the question? Sorry, I'm kind of dealing with a lot right now.
You're dealing with a lot.
You have no idea.
What happened to Hamid? We need to find our mate.
Oh, Hamid, yeah, he went he got turned into something and then ran off.
Oh, the inhuman scream is probably Hamid.
Okay, shall I go get him?
What, I mean, I ain't really up to much right now.
All right, well, okay, I'll go.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Look, mate, I have... I'm just pouring blood out of one hand.
Blood? What I'd give for some blood right now.
Would you like some?
So people could see how much trouble I'm in.
Like, I am not well right now.
Oh, you're fine.
Are you any good at, what, resurrection spells? I mean, for me, not Bertie, although I suppose you could...
No.
I'm
really good at cutting things. That's sort of my bag. Yeah, I know, right?
I'm going to cut to Grizzop.
Sure.
So you've set off up?
Going to the thing on the roof?
Just really, really not in the headspace to, like, help that logically. So is it up there?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Scamper off.
Soon enough, you can hear again. It takes a while... Then there's another howl and so on, and it's definitely coming from the roof, and it's fairly easy for you to just... You keep going up, and you make your way eventually to a rooftop.
Sure. So I've got my an arrow knocked in my bow, not drawn, and I approach the source of the...
So, you step out onto the rooftop, and as you're walking across the rooftop, there's a faint patter of rain. However, the cloud cover is very broken up, and it's probably going to be a fairly sunshiny day coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So there is distinct movement from the opposite end of the roof, which is sort of gently sloping in order to accommodate the massive auditorium and so on. Give me a perception check.
That is a 12.
12? The creature is at the opposite end of the roof. That's all you can really discern at this
point. It's looking out over the city and... doing a weird sniffing of the air thing and it occasionally howling.
So I just say it on the parapet.
It turns to face you.
Oh, you are able to recognise Hamid's features in there.
Okay, sure. I'm going to use Handle Animal.
That's appropriate because his int is so low.
Right, well, I'll roll and then do it.
This is a trash D20.
Roll good. Roll good.
I mean, it's still 11.
If only someone with a really good handle animal skill was still around.
I've got plus 7.
If only someone with a really good handle animal skill was still around.
You talk a lot for a dead man.
Bertie says nothing.
I rolled a sense motive check, but I failed.
Oh, okay.
So you've tried to calm the beast, and the beast has failed to sense what you're trying to do.
It's being very wary of you. Okay. It's kind of backing off, snarling, growling.
All right, easy, easy, Hammett. Hammett, all right, do you recognise Hammett? You're horrible. right, how about, what did he like, food?
All right, I'm going to get some rations.
Oh, that's never going to work, Grizzop. Right.
What is this? I demand lobster.
I'm going to allow you to go a handle animal, but you'll have a penalty because it's rations.
Yes. So, you know, hand out, palm flat.
All right.
You know, just holding it there. 20.
Fail my sense motive again.
It's up to you.
I
trust you to play true to your stats. You always have before.
I sort of approach,
come
but...
on.
And then I back off again.
No, it's fine. Look, I'll put it down.
I'll pop the ration down and back off.
Oh, for flavour, can it be Kendall mint cake?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, of course it is.
Hamid, again, scrabbles up to it, sniffs at it, takes a bite, sort of chews, and then backs off again.
All right, definitely Hamid.
mint cake's delicious.
Yeah. Well, I can take you somewhere that'll make you better. If you can understand this, you probably can't. How about we go on a walk? You like walkies? Walkies?
Problematic.
This is so problematic.
There's no recognition or understanding in the creature's eyes. It's calmed down very slightly, but it's not approaching you.
Well, right. Your teacher always said you should have bothered more with the animals.
Crack my knuckles.
You never spent enough time with them.
Knock the bow.
Do this way, I know how then.
Fire a hammer.
Okay.
I'm aiming at his limbs, trying to disable him.
Are you aiming for non-lethal damage?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I figure as much. Roll the attack, you'll be taking a minus... Ooh, I think it's a minus 4 in order to deal non-lethal with a lethal weapon.
Okay. I'm going to get plus 6. Do I hit on an 18 and do I hit on a 16?
Hamid, you have all of your AC stored.
Yeah. Only the 18 hits.
Okay. It's only 1d6 because it's not flaming. Deal 2 damage to you. But I'm trying to do basically gambits. And...
basically, how does Hamid react to this? And then we will.
He leaps at you.
Okay.
And gets 2 claw attacks.
It's all gone PvP!
They both miss.
Yeah, don't hit 21.
I am going to cut to Sasha. So I'm assuming that you're just on the stage unless you have any other plans.
She's ripping up pages while shouting for a producer.
Yeah. Right. This script's terrible.
Who
wrote this?
You need a stagehand or something. Someone that has access to, I don't know, healing that doesn't hurt. Just stumbling around drunkenly almost.
Like, give me a perception check.
A lot of blood. Well, 19 plus 10.
You hear 29. There's an argument happening outside, like, so that you have the main entrances to the stalls at the very, very back of the auditorium, and you can just hear what sounds like an argument on the other side of those doors.
Yep. It stumbles over and opens the door. I really need help. We've just saved...
I'm just telling you that we could just teleport the entire opera house somewhere. Problem solved! So you can see that Einstein is having an argument with Curie whilst Freud is looking on.
You guys that have been exactly no help so far. Like, I don't know if you might be able to be a bit of help. Now, you see, blood is pouring
off
her.
You're a mess.
Like, just out of her back where there's the falcon.
Oh, thing, yeah, that'll be back.
Like, that is where just raw, like, blood just seeping. Like, it's coming out through the hole in her jacket. Her jacket isn't damaged, so it's just blood seeping from, like, the sleeves
gross.
And around her neck. And then, of course, her hand is basically a crushed stump. And she, like, shakes the bloody hand of them and is like, really? You haven't been any help so far. I got one guy dead. I got another one disappeared. I got an angry, grumpy sword. And I got nothing left. Just, I got no fight in me, guys. You're really going to have to step up here.
And we'll take a break there and be back in a couple of minutes.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back. So as Sasha finally tells, you know, the all of the most powerful mages possibly, what she thinks of them, we'll jump back to Grizzop and Hamid. And for the sake of my sanity, we're going to skip ahead to you hog-tying Hamid, because yep, we are working off Hamid's close combat stats. So it's more a question of...
So what about? He's great.
It's more a question of when Hamid gets completely defeated by the combat-focused character, Paladin, who can also heal itself on the fly.
Only once more.
But nonetheless, yeah, I'm going to skip it.
That's going to be a problem, given that you're essentially wrestling with a guinea pig.
So I guess I've got him over my back, trying to take him down, going,
sure. Oh, for a small bug, you sure are heavy.
So presuming you're making your way back towards the auditorium.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to cut to Sasha then. All of them go quiet, and Curie for once just goes quiet as well.
All right, I mean, now Sasha might have been so exhausted and burned that her general shyness was just worn out, but now there's an awkward silence.
So oh, it's a super awkward silence.
It all comes back. Yeah, so I think really need some help here. Just
Curie,
we got him, you know, we got him. He killed a woman, and he killed my comrade,
colleague.
Acquaintance.
Yeah.
Acquaintance. He killed a guy that I worked with.
Curie comes forward and actually tries to put her hand around Sasha.
Oh, yeah, but she doesn't know that her entire back is raw.
No, she doesn't. Yeah. Not all.
Ah! Well, people! Stop! Attacking me!
I'm guessing that you need a healer, yes?
Well, it's a bit more complicated than that.
Right. She turns... There's a muttered conversation between Einstein and Freud and Curie, and then Einstein, you know, teleports away. Freud gives a nod and heads off, and then Curie's just there on her own and goes, I should probably have a look, shouldn't I? At the auditorium. I'm not a healer. I don't know anything
right.
About that.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, this way.
She heads in and casts a very critical eye over the disarray that is the auditorium. At which point, Grizzop, you manage to drag a hog-tied Hamid thing back into the auditorium.
Oh, sorry, Sasha, I got him. There he is.
All right, Hamid.
He's gone a bit wrong.
Hamid's unconscious at this point.
Hamid, I mean, he's not dead as well, is he?
No, he's fine.
He is.
He's definitely got a bit of fight in him still.
He is scaly.
Yeah. Don't know what Kafka did to him. Oh, you. Yeah, you. The unhelpful woman. Check this out.
Curie sort of sink to the floor.
Curie comes over and casts a fairly formidable knowledge arcana. Arguably the most formidable knowledge arcana that you're ever going to encounter.
As we chat to her.
And rolls a 3. However, it's a sufficient modifier to at least have a solid idea of what's going on. She has a look. Has another look. My guess is... You see, it looks like it's just a simple case of like a feeble-minded spell, something similar that would reduce the intelligence and the... the nuance of a person. Let's say their personality, but...
Skip
this,
the end.
This... it's complicated.
He's done it before.
So I did announce that I was a sorcerer in the Wizarding Council Chamber.
I'm getting there. Cool. My guess is it's interacting with his heritage in some way.
And
it's quite complex.
Bye.
My guess is deal with the feeble-minded side, and it will probably end up solving the complication.
Right, got to sort that out. That's some pretty serious stuff, but
well,
I reckon we've got some people who
dragon,
can do it.
But he is covered in fiery scales, so
that's cool.
Brassy.
The crocodile bit, the brass crocodile.
So,
also, do you know any necromancers apart from obviously? Well, you don't anymore.
Yes, we do have it as an entire school at the university.
Right, I think one of them might need to check her out.
Ow.
Okay.
I tried to heal her. Went badly. That shouldn't happen on people who are alive.
Ow.
I am going to now smash cut.
Sure.
Ow.
Okay? We are back at the university.
Ow.
You are aware that Freud has been given the, basically the job of handling the cleanup around the opera house. Whilst Einstein bouncing around with ridiculous amounts of teleports is just checking around the city, and he's proving very useful at like coordinating things. But Curie has come basically with you guys back to the university. As it stands, you are now back in that chamber that you were with when you were meeting them for the first time. Mm-hmm. Curie is there, and a healer.
Sasha's just leaving bloody footprints.
Oh yeah, you're a mess.
Really not stealthy.
No.
So a healer has appeared to help Hamid, and a bunch of necromancers are here to try and deal with Sasha. The issue with the necromancers is you get the impression that for a while at least the department hasn't been very well run. So compared to like the gravitas and the style of everyone who's come before, one of them's like, oh, it's probably, you know, artifacts, artifacts mischievous reversal. It's not going to be mischievous reversal because that wouldn't interact with it, would it? Well, it's not going to be David's claws, is it? And they're just chatting nonsense. They have no idea.
Sasha is lying down with a jacket off, so you can just see the fact that it's all just
yeah.
Like she's just caking in, like
Hammond is conscious again. He did a lot of snarling and growling and scrabbling when he first woke up, but he's now kind of worn himself out because he's still tied up and he's just hissing occasionally.
Meanwhile, the healer that's dealing with Hamid has a conversation with Curie. They both sort of give a nod.
Ooh, was that a critical fail?
There was a critical fail in there.
Oh, God.
So, what effectively happens is the cleric effectively figures out what actually needs doing and casts the appropriate spell. There's a few that would work. In this case, I think it's just a standard heal, actually. But like a magical version. However, during the kerfuffle, Hamid manages to effectively break free and make a dash for the door kind of thing, and Curie just wearily blasts what's effectively a fireball at his back, pinning him to the wall. He flops back down. The cleric then comes over, finishes the job, and transforms him back to Hamid. Hamid, you are... She's very good, and she deliberately cast it lower level than she could, but you've taken about...
I also have fire resistance.
Yeah, she cast about 4d6 worth of damage, which will be...
Oh, come on!
That was a 6, 6, a 5, and a 6.
23 damage.
That's fine.
You took 23 damage from the lower than normal cast fireball.
Yeah. I have fire resistance 5. I take 18. That's about two-thirds of my hit points.
And then you are now back as Hamid. You have complete...
I'm unconscious again. I still had some non-lethal damage.
The cleric just kind of looks at Curie and goes... and then proceeds to heal you back up to full hit points. Meanwhile, one of the necromancers with Sasha is like, right, get out of the way, out of the way, out of the way, out of the way. Right. This is either going to... I've got to warn you. This is either going to really hurt or make it all better, but it won't kill you. Huh?
Right, great. Just... I don't know if I have much blood left.
It's all right.
I'm around. If he screws it up,
you'll kill him.
I'll murder him for you.
Kill him for me.
All right.
Right. Right. You're all right, you know.
Yeah, you are too. You got to have some. Anyway,
you're all right.
Do you have knowledge arcana at all?
Me, no.
Okay, fine. Basically, the necromancer goes, and passes his hand across Sasha. Some green light filters out from his hand. From your perspective, Grizzop, you absolutely recognise that as necromancy. Nonetheless, Sasha, you feel ever so slightly better. Ooh. At which point, in fairness, you'd heal. Yes. at which point, the other necromancers go, right. They all start vroom, vroom. It's quite uncomfortable for you, Grizzop, because there's like a lot of necromancy magic that's just been pumped in.
I mean, there's nothing inherently bad with necromancy.
All I mean is that what you are quite quickly becoming aware of is that they're repeatedly casting inflict serious wounds on Sasha.
Oh, so it's more like
negative energy.
It's really bad.
Yeah. However, Sasha, you get healed up to full, and you look all right. You look good. Maybe a little pale, but you're basically fine. Hamid, you are now conscious with it, and the first thing that you see is a cleric who just pats you on the shoulder and then just walks out, leaving you with everyone else. You have fragmentary, but generally complete memories of your time as a sort of weird dragon was.
What happened?
Oh, should you tell him or should I?
Right. Sasha clambers up. This, you're going to need to be sitting down. Hamid, it went about as badly as it could, Hamid.
There is a knock at the door.
What happened? What
sit down.
There's another knock at the door.
I'll storm over and open it. What?
A pair of really, really well-dressed gnomes are stood in the doorway.
Who on earth are you?
Like, really badly, Hamid.
Why are those people here? Who are these people?
Where's Bertie?
Hamid, sit down. A hot drink, that's what they give people.
Are you lawyers?
We'd appreciate it if you would allow us entry into this room.
Well, I don't know you.
Look, we'll probably have to hear him out. Alright.
What?
So, someone get Hamid a hot drink. And, like, and me too, unless that will hurt me.
The gnomes are going to try and enter unless you physically stop them.
No.
Yeah, sure. So they head in and they end up, they just stand in the doorway, they don't really sit.
Tell you what, yeah, I'll go get those hot drinks. And I'm going to run off to a kitchen.
Sure.
The necromancer office faculty kitchen. Just things up that you don't have to be dead to work in, but it helps.
Hammond,
where's Bertie?
I really recommend you sit down.
I'm fine.
Please, the gnome's gesture for the room. It is our sad duty to work through the remainder of Sir Bertrand's estate in the case of his demise.
What
now,
happened?
Naturally,
Bertie's dead! What? How?
As far as we understand, it was a
severe suffocation casting. He will have died due to lack of air.
Oh my God, Bertie!
So as it stands, Sir Bertrand is of course demised. We understand that the sword is actually in your possession.
Well, I left it there, but I guess I own it.
We would ask if it was possible for you to hold on to it whilst we attempt to find the next of kin for that item.
All right. Maybe would one of the people that was... What do they do with Bertie's body?
So, you can ask that off... I can retrospect that into you asking Curie if you want.
Curie, where did Bertie's body and his stuff go?
As it is, he's currently being interred in the local chapter of... Actually, it was Artemis happened to be closest. He will remain in the crypt whilst they examine for any kind of necromantic complication. As it stands, he'll then be handed over to the McGuffingham estate for burial at their cemetery.
Yep.
Yes.
So apparently I need to carry the sword around?
If you would be so kind as to do so, we would greatly appreciate it. However, if you do not wish to, we would be more than happy to take it off your hands.
I can't believe he's gone.
Well, look, okay, I can have a chat with him. Maybe he can talk to Hamid, because I can't do this.
All right, I've got everyone coffee. It's instant, sorry, but I assumed you wanted some.
And I'll put down the four mugs in front of the lawyers as well.
Tiny mugs,
they're espresso mugs for the night.
Yes.
But they drink it as a normal strength of coffee.
Sasha takes one and hands it to Hamid, like, really awkwardly.
Now, here's the thing. The gnomes have your will.
Yeah.
There are magical effects that would allow it to be read out in your voice if you want.
Oh.
Would you like to have your last will and testament read out to the
room?
Yes.
Okay, right.
So the gnomes, they, if you'll all excuse us for a moment, they open the letter, place it on the table, pass a hand over it, and then Bertie's voice speaks.
So I'm dictating now, am I? So everything I say now is going to be written down, and that's my last will and testament. Is that right? That is right. That is clever, isn't it? That's really quite something.
It's a very thick will.
That is tasteless.
La la la, so to whom we may concern, obviously if I'm dead, then it will be terribly sad for all of you. But you know, the thing that I would...
Sorry, for the listeners that no one can see us, like, Lydia and Ben just sharing a look, kind of a...
Hamid is genuinely sad.
Now, obviously, this will come as a great trauma to you, all the more so because it is totally unexpected, because, let's be honest, I'm pretty good at fighting peril. The other day, I saw some peril, just hit it, just punched it right in the face, it went down. That was, it stayed there, out of fear. Oh, take that peril, I said.
Would anybody mind if we skip ahead a little bit?
I'm not bothered.
They pass their hand over the paper just a little bit to skip it ahead. Just a little bit. It's a very thick will.
That peril, that stayed down. And it was definitely down by this point. Anyway, I digress. Tempting though it may be to follow me into the outer planes, wherever I go after death, who can say? No, no, I want you to stay here, stay living, stay strong, carry my memory of greatness forward. It'd be really sad because it's a massive loss to all of you.
Hamid starts to cry, but quite gently.
Now, in terms of my personal effects and... debts. Now, debts. The debts is an issue. I won't lie. Obviously, as much as possible must be sold off to allay the debts of the old Bovum estate.
We'll stop the will at this point. It's worth noting that almost the entirety of possessions have been reclaimed in order to start paying off some of that debt.
I'm going to go get myself a coffee.
Very well. They pass their hand across the will, it resumes.
Now, I of course, at the present time, have no male heir that I know of. Am I right, ladies? I'm definitely right. I really, it's, the whole idea sickens me. Now, however, I have decided that the mantle of the House of McGuffingham shall pass upon my demise to this little dog I found recently. I see great things in him. You know, there's a certain spirit, a certain strength of character. I predict great things for that small dog. So as such, I bestow upon him all the remains after the debts of the old Bovum estate have been cleared, including my name. You know, as Brutor McGuffingham. Sir Brutor McGuffingham.
Is that the end of the world?
That's the end of the world.
All right, what am I missing?
Can dogs inherit?
Magical contracts.
Titles.
Yes.
In the British.
Just in case anybody is wondering, the rooms have still got their hat. Dobbs can definitely inherit. I did look it up. Yeah.
Wait, hang on a minute. I went to get a coffee and now a dog is Bertie. Wait, what's happening?
He's left everything to Brutor.
Who's Brutor?
He's a dog that attacked us once and stuck with us.
So, the gnomes take a moment. They fold up the will. With that in mind. Obviously, now that new information has come to light, we would greatly appreciate if you would hand over the sword of McGuffingham that it might be held to the next heir of the old Bovum estate.
To Brutor?
Correct, yes.
Well, can I say, you absolutely have it, but on the grounds that I get to listen in when you manage to get the two of them together.
The whole time these gnomes have been deadpan and then just go... Yes.
Right.
And then reach and take the sword.
I can't believe he's really gone.
It would appear that we have no more business here. We wish you all the best. And should you ever require the services of Harkness, Harkness, Darkness and Sphinx, of course, naturally, we would be there to serve you.
I really hope it never comes to that.
Yeah. And, hey, Hammett, look, I know we haven't really met, that long ago, and Bertie's dead, but ultimately he died fighting a real dick. And honestly, that's probably the best death anyone can have if they're going to die.
I suppose he went out as a hero.
Well, Hammett...
That's probably the best that could have been hoped for.
Right, Hammett, so... Sasha gets awkwardly to her feet and comes over to where Hammett is definitely sitting down. And
still in his pants.
Right, yeah. And you're drinking your hot drink, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hammett has his third sip.
Hammett, right, so there's no way to say this well, and let's be honest, if there was a way, I wouldn't have it. But, like, your sister, the singer...
Aziza? Oh, yeah, where is she? What happened? She Hammett. Did the solo so well.
Hammett.
The gnomes step forward.
I'm sorry.
Should you require our services, in addition to our condolences, please do let us know. They turn and leave.
She didn't make it, Hammett. That was, like, so, yeah, he...
What? Kafka, what do you mean? She didn't...
Kafka.
She wasn't
Kafka had her, and he made her. I don't think she suffered.
Oh God!
The mug drops from his hands and shatters on the floor, and Hammett follows it. He just collapses, and he is screaming wordlessly.
And I will end the episode there.
Just to say that the mug that Hammett drops, because it's in the necromancy faculty, it has World's Best Dead on it.
Oh, God! Oh, Jesus!
And on that cheerful note, bye!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
What do you bequeath to who?
What do I bequeath to who? So...
Or whom?
To whom does one bequeath? Let's have a look.
You can't bequeath debts.
No, I know.
Don't try.
The debts are inherited by the estate, technically.
Oh, yes, but he doesn't get to bequeath them.
He tries to bequeath all his debts.
To Zolfile.
No, sure, he'd bequeath them all to...
Zolf, I bequeath a letter with a middle finger drawn.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.